This is a recording of Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani for Sunday, April 3rd, 2016. Plan for Life Now can be heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Views expressed on this program are those of the sponsors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. An investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot assure profit or protect against loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Capital Retirement Strategies and Cambridge Investment Research are not affiliated.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. This is Plan for Life Now with your hosts, Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show, Plan for Life Now. We are going to plow through the show. Steve is not here today. He had a planned vacation, which is Steve works really hard. He is off with his family. So Steve and the kids, this was a planned vacation for him. So, and he deserves it. So that's good. So I'm basically was planning on doing the show today. And a few days ago, I had a really bad stomach bug. Like, if this was the show, if today was 2 days ago, then we would have had to run a best of show, which, by the way, we never run. I don't believe we've ever run a best of show ever. I think since I've been doing this since 2001, I don't think we've ever run a best of show. Whether, you know, a lot of the shows now, the past, you know, 8-9 years, it's been me and Steve. So a lot of these shows, one of us is sick, the other one can do it.
I don't even save them anymore.
I know. I don't like doing a best of show.
I used to save them in case we needed to do a best of, but you never have.
I don't like doing a best of show. And the reason is, it's like, these are financial planning shows. You know what these things are. And everything's changing. So the world is ever changing. Issues that are important change over time. And to run something that's old, that a lot of it is not pertinent to what's going on, is really, you know, what's
not only is it not pertinent, but it's wrong.
Yeah, or it could be wrong. Financial planning, you say stuff and people are like, wait a second.
A week later.
Last time I checked, the market's down. These guys are acting like it's a bull market. Oh, it's a best-of financial planning show. Who got that idea? So anyway, so I'm in here, but, you know, what can I tell you? If I would have told you I'm on my game, that would be a lie. So we're going to do the best we can. But I thought I'd start the show by going back to the other day when I was really... And everybody who's listened to this show has had a day or days, come on, where you've been so sick that you can't function, you know, or to the point where you're certainly not going to work. I would have loved to have done this show. We actually would have had to run something in this spot if I was there today. I could not come in here and do that, not to mention infect other people, but literally I was, you know, I could not get out of bed for that. And that brings back to, I want to start the show with long-term care. That was one day, and while I was sitting around, and really the day after that, too, it was like, you know, that one day I couldn't take care of myself. My wife had to take care of me. I couldn't get out of bed. The next day, it was basically a useless person wandering around in a fog, still not feeling well. But long-term care is like that for people every day. You know, when I look at my mother-in-law, who has Alzheimer's, you know, and the whole group there at Kensington Park, every day is like that. Every day is like your worst day with the flu or whatever, or you can't take care of yourself. And people go on to various levels of that. That's what long-term care is, needing assistance every single day at various levels, whether that assistance is lighter. Yeah, it's not like every day is your worst flu ever, or heavier. And while Alzheimer's is a disease that affects the mind, the care is similar to the same type of care somebody would need if they were really sick with the flu every day. You can't take care of yourself. There's something called the activities of daily living. These are big language in the long-term care field. Eating, bathing, dressing, walking around, going to the bathroom. Do you need help with that every day? For many of you listening, you've needed help with that maybe at most one day a year. Maybe for many of you are very healthy, one day out in every 5 years. I'm one of those people who never get sick like this, by the way. I'd be one of those people who would need have a day like I had the other day once every 3 to 5 years, you know. But when you get older, guess what? This stuff happens. And when I say older, I know a lot of you now are in your 50s and 60s listening to this show. And you still can't imagine what long-term care would be like. But when you get to be late 70s, 80s, guess what? This stuff happens. This stuff happens to you. And that takes me back to the seminar we just did. So, thank goodness. Thank goodness I wasn't in that condition for the seminar. But we had a great group at Clyde's and Tyson's last week for my long-term care talk. And more, you know, we're just getting these groups together and doing this. And a lot of people in the group, you know, they're dealing with a parent, sort of like the way my wife and I are right now. They're dealing with a parent who has long-term care, and they're seeing, wow, this is a horrible situation, and it's really expensive. And as more and more people start to see that in their family, that's what's driving people more than the financial end to deal with long-term care. But you got to realize the financial end is the whole point of long-term care insurance. It's just most of us will need this kind of care. It's like dealing with this subject as a professional for so long. It freaked me out a little bit. You know, the other day, it's like, wow. Because that's the first thing I think, this is what long-term care is. I mean, I can't take care of myself. I can't function. Someone's going to have to. But when you're in that condition, you realize, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to kill myself. You know, the answer is not assisted suicide. For most people in long-term care, the answer is not for most of their scenarios in long-term care, for most of those years that they need assisted living. The answer is not, oh, just get rid of me. That's just, A, it's not legal. B, it's never going to happen. That's not happening. You know, assisted suicide is set aside in states where it's legal, which aren't that many, for people who are terminally ill. Can you make an argument for people who are terminally ill and then they are vegetative that assisted suicide is a reasonable solution for people in pain? I think you can make a very strong argument.
Sure, as if you're hooked up to hoses and tubes and you're unconscious and comatose and you're not going to come back. Pretty strong case for it there.
I think there's a strong case for it. I think that kind of stuff should be legal in more places myself, but, you know, we don't make the laws. But long-term care is not that. Alzheimer's is not that. Falling and breaking a hip and needing to be in assisted living for the rest of your life is not that. Most long-term care is not that. It's just basically needing to be cared for.
But, and nothing brings it to your attention like having a mother or father that you have to care for, like in your case.
Yeah.
You can explain it to people, but until they have that responsibility, which is incredible, most of them just don't realize it.
Yeah.
And even if you have a spouse that really loves you, like my wife, who just really loves me, you know, she'll say, I'm not doing that. She'll say, no, you need to get, you know, some care. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I don't feel like getting. This is a Sunday morning. People have just eaten breakfast.
Yeah.
They're driving around. I don't want to discuss the way I was the other day in a graphic terms.
Right.
But
right.
There's a lot of graphic stuff going on
in
long-term care. That's a great point, Ken. Because you don't want your spouse doing that.
No.
You, at some point, some of you are married, some of you are single. If you need long-term care, you know, for some of you, when you probably need it, your spouse is also not young, statistically. And even if they are, you don't want their life to be dominated by needing care. So you have home care, and home care is really an issue more for couples where, you know, one member of the couple needs care, needs help. The other is getting older, and to do this caregiving 24/7 is impossible and wrong, really. So home care charges by the hour, and home care costs around $25-$30 an hour. And there's nothing wrong with getting 8 hours of help a day so you can have a life and you're there for the rest of the time. But that costs $80,000 a year.
Wow.
That's what it costs. 20 people say, I want to stay at home. Long-term, I just want to stay at home. Dave, do these policies have home care? Yeah, they do. Well, okay, so if I wanted to stay at home, it'll pay for it. Yeah, no. Because we can only put so much money in a long-term care insurance policy, so much protection. 8 hours a day of home care is $80,000 a year. Could you get a long-term care policy that'll pay that or the equivalent of that in the future when you need it? Yeah, you could do that. But 24-hour home care, well, that would be $240,000 a year. If you bought a you could buy a policy for that. The policy itself would cost you $15,000 a year. And you're not going to buy that, and nor should you. So that's why 24-hour long-term care, when you are too frail as a spouse to take care of your loved one, that's when the spouse does go to assisted living, which is what you see all the time when you have the loved one, spouse in assisted living. It's what you see all the time at Kensington Park. You see husbands and wives visiting their spouse there.
Right.
They're not living there. They can't afford it. It's expensive enough to be at Kensington Park. Kensington Park, and there are many... Yeah, you're going to have to shop and find the best facilities. Kensington Park is one of them. Is every assisted living the best? Absolutely not. But the best charges, the best runs from $85,000 to $110,000 a year in today's dollars, which means 20 years from now, that cost is going to be $150,000 to $200,000. Easy. So, and this is the situation that you find yourself in, and this is why, and this destroys retirement plans, and this makes sense, and this should be out there. Yet, for what we did last week, this is why, yeah, is Dave, you do a lot of business in long-term. I do, because other people should be doing this. Other people should do a segment that's gone now 11 minutes about long-term care and have the expertise to do it. Nobody does it. That's why I did a show last week with Steve, one show on MAL. I would love to tell you that we're like Rush Limbaugh ratings-wise. We're not. So we do one show on Sunday, and I do... A few commercials. A few. 25 people show up. That's a lot of people for one radio show and a few commercials. I don't even run a lot. We don't run a lot on this. Why? Why? Why would I have so many people? Why am I doing so much work? Because there isn't enough expertise out on that. And I told you guys, if you listen to the show every week, this year, beginning of this year, this is the year I'm focusing again on this. This is the year I'm revitalized. You know, you guys need to know enough about this practice to know this radio show has been on a long time. You know, we do a job where when you've been on this long, you've listened long enough. This is not like some sales game. You know, yeah, you're coming to my seminar, you respond to this segment of a show, you want to work with me, I get compensated. You know, you work with me, you work with someone else, you work in insurance policies. The policy is based, the price is based on your current age, your current health, whatever plan you pick and the design of that plan. You pay the same price. Now, it is based on which state you live on in a little bit, but D.C., Maryland, Virginia, certainly. And I know a lot of you are listening in all other places. That's not really the big factor. The factor is your age, your health, the plan you pick, and the design. That's what affects your price, not the person whose work we get compensated through commission that we get paid. That goes for long-term care insurance. That goes for life insurance. That goes for long-term disability insurance, and that goes for annuity product. They all work the same way under the umbrella of the life insurance company. So, yeah, at this point, it's just about being able to offer the expertise. But having done this since 1999, having done so many of these talks and met so many people and worked on cases, and more the cases are getting, I just don't know how you would do this, you consumers, on your own. Most people who get long-term care insurance work with an advisor. The question is, does the advisor know what they're doing? And more importantly, are they independently comparing what's out there now, which is traditional long-term care insurance, and now the new hybrid products, which offer a combination of long-term care benefits and life insurance benefits. Now, because the latter products I just described are better, there's some that are actually really good product. Now it's good for you, the consumer. It's almost impossible for you, the consumer, to compare and to figure out what fits your situation and then go through the process. And that's what we basically offer. So if you're interested in that, you listen to this and say, yeah, I want to, hey, I'd like Dave to look at my situation, or at least I'll follow up and find out more about long-term care insurance for me or me and my spouse. I think the easiest way to contact me is to go to the website, planforlifenow.com. Planforlifenow.com tells you more about us. There's a button that says Contact Dave. Just go to that, planforlifenow.com, and contact me, and we'll discuss your case well before we ever get together. We'll discuss it on the phone, you know, or email back and forth and figure out. I want to find out what your situation is. You know, I have to find out a lot about your situation before I would do anything anyway. But if it makes sense, we'll work on the case. So, interested, go to planforlifenow.com. You can also call the phone line if you're not computer savvy, 888-582-4582. But I still think it's easier to contact me about this stuff at our website, planforlifenow.com. Well, I didn't know if I'd get through the show. I've already done 15 minutes. We'll do a quick break. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. If you missed the first segment, I explained that I'm recovering from an illness. So I'm in that stage where I'm not contagious, they say, but I'm foggy. Now, a lot of people listen to the show for 19 years or whatever we've been on, 16 years, would say, Dave, you're foggy on a good day.
Yeah.
So what are you, dude, on this day, it's extra foggy. Like, I'm supposed to take a break. The first segment was 15 minutes. That's what I mean by a little out of it. But our next seminars coming up aren't until May. And the reason for that, you know, those of you know, we usually do them once a month, our retirement planning talks. But our next ones aren't until May. And that's actually because I'm taking a rare vacation that's not in August to see my daughter, who's going to, she's on a semester abroad in Israel. So we're going to meet her for her spring break. Now, her spring break is not going to be in Israel because that's where she's been for 5 months. It'll be 5 months when she comes back. So we're going overseas to Berlin. She's never been there before. Excited. I'm not like an overseas traveler, by the way. I rarely go anywhere. In my life, I've been to, like, Spain and Italy in the last... But it's fun to go.
A couple of good places to go.
No, it's cool. A lot of people, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to go occasionally, but we're going to Berlin and then Greece for a while, so...
Oh, Greece.
That'll be cool. Yeah. So that's 2 weeks there. So the bottom line is we're not doing seminars until May. But when we do these talks in May, there are ones that have been popular with you guys out there. So I want to mention those. If you're interested, you can register on our website. It's Retirement Strategies for TSP Rollovers. That's coming up again. And a lot of you are federal workers, which means, or federal retirees, which means you have the Thrift Savings Plan, the TSP. And as you, if you've left the federal government to go to another job, or you're retired, or you're 59 and a half, why is that a big deal? You could still be working there somewhere, or you're 59 and a half. Why? Because when you're 59 and a half or older, you could still roll over your balance in the Thrift Savings Plan. Remember, when you do this, you're going to roll it over into a self-directed IRA. You're not going to get a tax hit or anything like that. But now you have all the investment choices that are out there. If someone rolled over the Thrift Savings Plan and we were to work with it, you know, Steve and I, well, guess what? We have all the choices we have. The Thrift Savings Plan's limited in the options that you can invest in. That doesn't mean you automatically roll it over. There are advantages to being in the TSP as well. But for some of you out there, and who are those someones? Those someones would really be people who are in the FERS. You're in that retiree section. You didn't get into the old civil service one where you get 80% of your pay. You're in the one where you have the TSP, you get some pension, and you have Social Security, and you got to make all those things create a decent retirement income. If that's you, well, then now you're the ones, I think, really who need to look at a TSP rollover, and that's sort of who we're targeting when we do this seminar. So it's Retirement Strategies for TSP Rollovers. Get in early, and it's free of charge. Now, many of you know we never charge for our seminars. Tuesday, May 10th, Normandy Farm. Wednesday, May 11th, get in late. It's also free of charge. Clive, they're always free of charge. Tuesday, May 10th, Normandy Farm in Potomac. Wednesday, the 11th, Clydes and Tysons. If you'd like to come, go to our website, planforlifenow.com, or the phone line, 888 888- 888-582-4582. We're going to do news and traffic, and then I will be right back.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Plan for life now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
Welcome back to the show, Plan for Life Now. What's missing from today's show? Steve. Steve is missing from today's show. Steve is on vacation. He deserves vacation time occasionally. He's off with his family.
And since you can't afford substitute co-hosts, the engineer is sitting in.
We can't afford. Technically, we don't get paid to do this, so we certainly wouldn't pay someone to sit in.
Speaking of engineering, I think I hear something.
What? There it is. It's the Barry Ritholtz music. See, even without Steve, we still get the Barry Ritholtz. So Barry is that financial writer. He's in the Washington Post, and I took this, didn't get a chance to get to it, but took it out. But unlike when Steve's here, this is something that, this is behind the scenes. When Steve is here, Steve is very good at breaking down some of these articles and talking and about it while he reads it and gives you information about the article. Steve's great at doing that. That's a hard thing to do. I suck at that. So I'm not going to break down this article by Barry. I'm just going to tell you what it's about and make some comment on it. So this was about fiduciary, and this is the fiduciary responsibility means very little to people listening out there. It's been in the financial press enough that sometimes people come to our talks or new people we meet or even old clients say, hey, are you guys fiduciary? And we explained on the investment side that we are. Within the community now, within the financial planning community, this fiduciary thing is a big deal. And this article in the Post by Barry Ritholtz was about fiduciary. And the argument is currently some people are a fiduciary, some advisors, the Ritholtz firm, one of them, Steve and I.
Without sounding like an idiot, can you just tell me what that even means real quickly before you...
I will, because it's not even complicated. Fiduciary means that we have to do things, quote, in the client's best interest. This is what he's like. The controversy is, so that's fiduciary. So when you do other products, and in financial planning, when we're talking about other products that are commissionable versus fee-based scenarios, this is where it starts. I'm not going to bore you with all the detail, but this is where the, quote, controversy comes about. Other scenarios, you have to do what is suitable to the client versus what's in the best interest. So a higher standard is what's in the client's best interest. So there's legislation, there's stuff going on with the Department of Labor that should be coming down the pike very soon, that is basically going to make the fiduciary, anyone who's dealing, or almost everyone who's dealing with the investment side of stuff, has to apply that fiduciary responsibility of what's in the client's best interest versus what's just suitable.
If you were wanting to be successful, wouldn't that be kind of just a normal thing to try to give the best service and representation you can?
It is, but honestly, I think the issue within the industry is that people who are not in that fiduciary position, remember, people have just been doing their business for a long time, and they are what they are. People who aren't in that position to be a fiduciary and have to make switches, that might be huge companies having to make big alterations to what they're doing, huge financial institutions, it might be individuals, they're the ones who have to really alter their practice to do this. So ultimately the question is, within the industry, there's going to be more regulation. There may be higher fees and stuff like this. Now, Barry basically says a lot of these things. He breaks it down to say Barry says, whatever. A lot of these arguments against the fiduciary are pretty lame, is what he says. And the fiduciary responsibility is something that we should all adhere to. We should be in a position to be forced to do what's in the client's best interest or risk a lawsuit. That's sort of what this is all about. We've talked about this on this show before. You know what, Steve and I believe. We believe in that fiduciary. We think, of course, just like you said, just like any client would say, we should be forced to do what's in the client's best interest. We should do what's in the client's best interest and not be forced.
Which is what you've always done.
Of course, and many advisors out there. But I will also tell you that there are many advisors and some that I know who are not in the fiduciary scenario. They're in the scenario of their practice that is suitable. It's the other side of the coin, and they are also doing what they feel is in the client's best interest. They are not like trying to screw you over, even though they're not in that position right now. And that's the argument within the industry. People aren't, you know. But my feeling is it's better. Why not just be under this umbrella and you know, let's be all under this umbrella and we're all on a level playing field. So that's where I have an issue. I have a personal issue with, without mentioning stuff, look at the radio broadcasting field and financial planning. If you were to dig into this, if you, the consumer, were to really know what's going on, there are various levels of compliance based on starting with this fiduciary responsibility and also starting, quite frankly, with which, what kind of broker-dealer you're with, what kind of scenario you're in. You know, we're held to a high standard to do this radio show. We have compliance that listens to every one of this radio show.
Yes, they do. I send it in to them every week.
So they're all over us. And you know what? It's good that they're all over us. Ultimately, them being all over us is helping make sure that we don't accidentally say the wrong thing. We're doing the best we can. You know, we're trying to do a show that is giving you advice that's, you know, honest, that's unbiased. But we should be monitored. I have no problem with it. There are other radio shows that are not in that scenario at all. Right now, insurance product, and that doesn't mean we don't do insurance product. We do insurance product, as you know, from listening to this show. Long-term care, just talked about long-term care insurance. Insurance product is not under the fiduciary umbrella. That doesn't mean you don't need insurance product, and it doesn't mean that, you know, everyone, certainly everyone does insurance is, you know, is bad or anything, but that's not under that umbrella. So when you hear a radio show that's all about an insurance product, guess what? They're not under the same compliance umbrella that we are and that other shows are. And, you know, it's not a level playing field. What can I tell you? And I find that to be, in some cases, dangerous for you, the consumer. So, what can I tell you? That's sort of the deal on this fiduciary thing. At the end of the day, if it turns out that we're all under the same umbrella, and DOL, that goes through and all that with the Department of Labor, whatever, we'll all abide by it. Will it be extra paperwork, maybe? Extra, some uncomfort, some transition for everybody? Yeah, it will be. It will be, but that's what's going down the pike. And ultimately, it boils down to the same thing. It is very, very, very hard for you, the consumer out there, to figure out who's telling you the truth and who isn't.
Well, do you get a seal of approval that you can stick on your office door or hang on the wall or something saying you're a fiduciary?
I hope not. Because I think it's ridiculous.
Or we'll do a new disclaimer for the show.
I don't know. Oh, the new disclaimer for the show. That's always possible. Yeah. There's a lot of disclaimers come back.
Following broadcasters are fiduciary.
Oh, God. Who knows what's going to come down the pike on all that stuff. But I don't know what to tell you. I think the bottom line is, yeah. And even with a new thing with this fiduciary, and suppose it all goes through, and still, there is no one thing when you're out choosing an advisor that's going to guarantee you whether they're a certified financial planner, which Steve is, by the way, has the certified financial planning designation, whether this fiduciary thing, whether licensing, whether whatever people say, that's all good, it's all important, but ultimately it comes down to a bunch of different things that you need to investigate before you choose a financial advisor. It makes sense to investigate more than one when you're doing a complicated retirement plan, and find someone who not only, you know, has your best interest in heart, but also has the experience and sort of fits the case. In other words, you need retirement planning, you need to create some income out of your retirement accounts, you know, You're in your 50s or 60s. I'm describing most of our clients. That's why we do a show that targets that group. We have the experience to do it. And that's something we feel we can prove to clients. Other people do a better job than us and focus on other groups. You know, like college savings planning, like working with younger people in their 30s and 40s and stuff like that. That's all important for you, the consumer, to investigate. So, but if you're interested in us, I would say go to our website, planforlifenow.com, to find out more about us. That's the best way, and then you can go from there. Planforlifenow.com is our website. You can also call our toll-free number, 888-582-4582. To schedule a meeting with us, find out more, go to our next seminars, whatever. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Welcome back to Plan for Life Now, 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Right. Welcome back to the show. We've made it till the end of the show, Ken, which is good.
Steve, almost.
Steve's on vacation. Well, I know I'll make it between now and the end of the show, and I'm working, we'll say, at about 75% capacity.
You're holding up just fine.
I know, because as long as I can talk and just ramble on, it's a great radio skill to ramble on. But we are, just in case you've never heard the show before, Steve and I, Steve's not here, but we run Capital Retirement Strategies. We focus on financial planning and really retirement planning, retirement and investment strategies and insurance strategies for people, for the most part, in their 50s and 60s when we meet them. And nothing really hits home as to why I feel you need to work when you're in this age group with a financial advisor, whether it's us or somebody else. Then an ad I saw for a local bank. I won't mention the bank because I don't want to disparage the bank. But the ad basically says, big ad in the Post, retire on your terms. I go, anytime I look at ads and stuff, and I do, you know, obviously we do retirement planning. Mm-hmm. So, whoa, okay, they're doing some retirement stuff here. Retire on my terms. Okay, what do they mean? What they're basically offering were CDs, a 21-month CD, certificate of deposit, and a 29-month CD. Super safe, as a matter of fact, about as safe as you can get as far as an investment,
yeah,
period.
Yeah, pays about, what, 1.5%?
Well, here's the thing. The 21-month CD. Remember, I'm retiring on my terms. The 21-month CD was paying 1.15%.
How'd I get around it right on?
All right. So let me put this in perspective. Now, remember, I'm retiring on my terms.
Throw some numbers out there.
Okay. Now, many of you, and I would say most of you, if not all of you listening, do not have this. Hey, I'm going to retire on my terms. I'm going to throw in $1 million into this 21-month CD.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to live off that for 21 months.
That used to be the plan.
I'm going to live for 21 months because I'm retiring on my terms. Hey, yeah, I have $1 million. Awesome. My terms are I'm going to throw this money in this 21-month CD. Okay. You're getting 1.15%. off $1 million. That comes out to, I believe, $11,500.
In about...
For 21 months worth of living.
For almost 2 years.
Now, you live in A, Washington, D.C., B, a box in Washington, D.C. It's A. So, to live on $11,500 over the course...
That's about $6,000 a year.
So, my question is, your terms suck. I'm retiring. I'm upset with your terms. If you're retiring on your terms and this is your terms, then this isn't good. So the bank says, okay, all right, that wasn't your terms. They also say we have a 29-month CD.
Oh, that'll all that. Right. Now we're
okay,
talking.
21 months, that might be your terms, but I realize that.
Now you're making $8,500 a year.
Yeah, I mean, unless I'm eating, I don't know what I'd be living on, ramen noodles or something, and living in a tent.
Kraft mac and cheese.
So my new terms are the 29-month CD. All right, cool. What's that? 1.3%. That's now, I'm going to live on $13,000. Right?
Wait a minute.
29 months.
Wait a minute. It's a longer term and it pays less?
No, it paid more. The first was 1.15.
Oh, okay.
Instead of 11,500, they
Well, it pays
jack it up.
A lot more there.
1.3%. And now, if we were to pull back, we would. This is the challenge that many of you face. This is the frustration that many of our listeners face. The reason this bank is bragging about this is because this is the going rate, and obviously their rate's better than others. If it wasn't, they wouldn't be bragging about it or advertising it. That's how bad it is out there for, as they say, these low interest rates are hurting one group, and that's retirees. Because these numbers, yes, you feel super safe with the money, and that's fantastic, but this is not the safety that you're looking for. This is not enough money to even help supplement a retirement, let alone be a retirement.
That was my plan when I was a young man, was to make $1 million, put it in the bank, and just live off the interest.
You know what?
But that was a long, long time ago.
This while I didn't even care about money. Here's when I didn't care about money. It was called the early 80s. You know where I was doing in the early 80s? I was in college. Besides that, I was having a great time. And the Redskins were great. It was awesome.
That's right, yeah.
What I wasn't dealing with was my dad's problems. But my dad, or any dad out there, remembers the interest rates back then. The interest rates were huge. If you were a retiree then, you could stick your money and get great interest rate. And remember, things cost less, and that was the retirement plan.
Yep.
This CD thing, these rates were way higher than this, not even in the ballpark. I mean, enough to live on. Enough that we'd be jealous of to get today. And that was it. You didn't need to be sophisticated. You didn't need to understand the difference between stocks and bonds and mutual funds and ETFs and the level of risk. What's a level of risk a little bit higher than a CD? Now, that's going to have a little bit of risk, but it's going to have a little more reward. And then there's investments that are a little bit above that. And then there are investments that are a little bit above that. And financial advisors who are independent, who have the gamut of investment choices, can put together portfolios that ratchet up this risk just a little bit to say we can get a little bit more interest here. Yeah, we're not going to have the exact same safety as a CD. We're not. But we can ratchet up a little and get more interest rate. And that, for many people, is an important financial planning element versus just looking at these interest rates from a bank. You know, whether it's a CD or a savings account or a money market account, just say, you know, that's my only choice. So I'm going to park hundreds of thousands of dollars into these choices. This doesn't make sense for your retirement plan. It's dangerous for those of you. It just doesn't make sense for many of you who are fortunate enough to have a pension and, you know, have enough to live on. You're basically not making any money on your money, but it's much more dangerous for those of you who need to save for retirement and are going to need to live off of your money. You know, you're the ones who need to realize that this is not the way to go. This is why financial advisors are out there. This is why retirement planning is so critically important, as there's less pension out there, you know, more reliance on your savings, IRAs, 401ks, the thrift savings plan, if you're in the government. There's more need for sophisticated planning, understanding risk, and putting together a sensible game plan. And that's what we try to do. So our seminars aren't coming up into May, but they're retirement strategies for TSP rollovers. So if you're retired from the federal government, about to retire, anyone 59 and a half or older, in the Fed, you can roll over that thrift savings plan without penalty. And that's what we sort of talk about. That's in May. If you're not interested in that, but any other services we offer, you go to the same place. One is the phone line, 888-582-4582. The other is our website, planforlifenow.com. 888-582-4582. Or planforlifenow.com. We are out of time. Steve will be back next Sunday. Thanks. Have a good rest of the day.